Welcome to the latest edition of K-Rock Football's Season Countdown, an in-depth look at all 34 of the region's local football clubs. Here's your host, Tom King.
Gee, talk about teams that were competitive in 2021. They had a fantastic 8-4 record, but their four losses were no greater than 15 points, and they really pushed the likes of Bannockburn and, of course, lost early to Thompson, which was probably a loss that, in the end, might have been one that cost them a double chance if we had got to finals. But they unveiled a couple of handy kids. We got to see Hugh Menzies obviously kick a bag full of goals early. Ozzie Mulverhill's another name that I think we should be keeping an eye out for. But they did a fantastic job under their new coach in Ben Bosley, who goes around for a second season in charge and has been good enough to join us on the Season Countdown. Bose, great to have you having a chat to us.
No worries, King, and nice to speak to you again.
8-4 record was a fantastic return for your footy club. Finalists in 2019, year off, but 8-4 and four very competitive losses. How did you reflect on the season?
Oh, I think I think it was quite a good year. It wasn't a successful year, is what I define as success, but certainly we made some inroads, I think, again, into the way we want to play and just the expectations we have as a football group now. And we no longer feel as if we're we want to be pushing for finals and we want to have some success. And I think last year we made inroads into that. So we sit pretty, but there's a lot of work still to go.
What do you think you have to do to challenge the likes of Inverleigh, Bell Post Hill, Werribee Centrals to ensure that, you know, you're not just sneaking into the five come August, you're entrenched and maybe starting your challenge from a qualifying final?
Yeah, I think continuity is a big one. When you probably look at the teams you've mentioned, it looks as if, and I may be wrong, but there's a lot of continuity with players that have been around at those clubs for many years. And through that continuity, you get to know each other and you learn to know the nuances of each player. And there's no doubt that we've had a lot of turnover over the last couple of years. We've got juniors that are coming up that over many years we've put in this position to learn and grow for these moments now. And I think that we're starting to get continuity of players coming back year on, year out. We're also identifying that we do need to strengthen up key areas of our program and you know, the midfield, some key position players, some running halfbacks. We had to sort of work on recruiting players that were going to help us to not only keep developing the young kids, but really put the cherry on top to make sure that we could make inroads, because really, to make inroads against those top teams, you need depth. You need players playing together. And I feel as though we've done that over the off season. We've continued on with a different game plan than what we had under the previous coach. So we've had to work really hard on that last year to embed some different philosophies. And so the players have had another pre-season. We've really worked hard on some nuances of the game plan, and I feel as though we're better equipped to, you know, attack the year, certainly a lot better than what we had last year.
Yep. Hopefully some continuity too in terms of just training and football. Last year it was so stop start that when you're trying to put a newish group together under a new coach, just makes it so difficult. What's it been like your pre-season in terms of player availability and being able to keep everybody rolling?
Yeah, it's been a lot different. I must admit, when I took over the club, when 2020 was cancelled, they're very, very different stages of seasons now. And pre-Christmas, look, we had players coming in dribs and drabs, probably inconsistently to pre-Christmas training. But again, you would see everybody, but just not at the right time. So you might have 25 to 30 players, but that would roll on each night with different players. And you know, the juniors are there every session, which was wonderful. But those mature bodies, the bodies that you probably want to see all the time, we're probably coming quite still a bit inconsistently. But coming back from that Christmas break, we've got a lot of players that just haven't missed a beat. So I think because players now, when they think about the season, know that there is going to be a season, there's some consistency and there's a bit more hope than what there was last year. So therefore, players are more inclined to work harder, to get to training, to sacrifice a little bit more, knowing that their work's not in vain, that they're actually working towards something, with some confidence.
You struck the first blow when it came to recruiting when you used a very, very strong connection with Tommy Mars to get him to Richmond Crescent. We know what he did at South Bar when he played a lot of VFL footy, and most recently he's been a star with Vermont in the very strong Eastern Footy League. There's going to be a lot of expectation, I suspect, externally on what Tom will produce, but what has he brought to the group so far? And I suppose that the experience and the professionalism can only have been good for your group leading up to 2022.
Oh, totally, totally. And fundamentally, the most important that Tom, that he settled first, he, you know, let his football do the talking, and through that players watch and they learn and they observe the little details of how a player goes about their practice, that, you know, that brings that sense of, wow, look at him and look at the way, how diligent he is in thinking about the game of football and how he prepares himself. And certainly Tom did that. Both pre and post Christmas, he's just done his job. He's looked at the player first, and he's worked on his craft. And certainly, when he talks, the players listen because they know he doesn't just talk; he actually does it too. So he brings a whole lot of professionalism. His game plan and his strategy, his thinking is amazing. So I think that we don't want to put too much pressure on Tom. He's, you know, he is an assistant coach, and we do expect him to lead by example. But at the end of the day, is that Tom's coming down here to play with a brother to certainly try and achieve some success. And whatever comes of his season comes, and we're just going to let Tom, you know, determine what he wants to do, where he wants to play, because he's a player that carries so much experience that we just want to work with him. And we want him to enjoy his football, but certainly the football club is much better off with having a guy like Tom and the person he is at our football club. So he connects with juniors. He's been amazing with those senior players. And just we just got a subtle different game plan, and Tom's had a lot to do with that. So no, he brings a lot for us, Tom and Kingy, and we're looking forward to what he brings this year.
Absolutely. Just in terms of other recruits that you've brought in, Caleb Izzard was on the Falcons list last year. St Mary's is his junior club, but you've been able to get him to come across Moorabool Street. So what's the link there? And I know East and St Mary's have had a good little link with players going back and forth, especially in the younger days of their career. But how did you latch on to Caleb? And I suspect he's probably got a little bit of toe, if I think I know who he's related to.
Yeah, look, he's going to be a very, very good pickup for us, Caleb, a wonderful young man now. But the connection is through, obviously, there's a good connection between the two football clubs. And Caleb's got a lot of friends that he knows at the football club, Hugh Menzies being one, that I basically think invited him across, and we connected and we spoke to Caleb about what the opportunity could mean for him to play senior football this year and continue his development. Yes, at a different competition and, not the GFL, but certainly he's going to learn a lot from the players we've got, I think from the coaches and in our system. And whether Caleb goes back, you know, next year or the next couple of years, hopefully he'll be better equipped, with a little bit more of a toolkit to attack whatever football looks like for him, whether it's GFL or VFL or whatever he wants. But yeah, just through a mate, I think he just wants to play with his friends and get access to potentially some senior football and learn and grow, you know, like every young player. But he's going to be very, very good. He's had a great preseason. He's brought a few mates across, which is they're wonderful kids as well, and we're looking forward to them just stepping up as well.
St Albans have provided you with Zach Smith and Jake Watson-Searle. Ruben Vezekuru, former coach of the club, is back from Birchip Watcham. What can you tell us about Billy Andrew from Baruga, who's also played a bit of Ovens and Murray footy, midfielder?
Yeah, Billy's a midfielder, can certainly play back and can play forward. He's got plays both sides of the body quite well, reads the game quite well, played a lot of local footy down at Baruga, and I think he played a year at Yarrawonga, and comes with great reputation from those leagues. And the connection for Billy to our football club was his partner is a netballer at the club. So through that connection, we got on to Billy. There was a few clubs after him at that point, but we just said, look, why would you want to play anywhere else? Your partner plays at East. This is the way we're traveling. This is what we expect of our football team. And Billy's just, he's fitted in really, really quite well. And He's a very good player, and he's going to offer us a lot this year. And hopefully he's one of the players that, you know, we maybe missed last year in those really pivotal moments and pivotal contests. To have Billy in there with us this year is certainly going to help us.
Before we move on to your outs, your under-19s last year had provided plenty of talent to play some senior footy, and we have touched on Hugh Menzies and Ozzie Mulverhill among those. It becomes under-18s, you will field an under-18 team, but everybody in that age group will filter through. How many players have you will you access full-time this year as a result of the change in age group that we'll see more graduates than normal?
Well, yeah, well, basically the under-19 team from last year, I think all but a couple come up and play senior football. So you're talking in excess of 15, 16, 17 players that are filtering through to the senior transition team now. And you know, when you look at that bunch of, you know, you mentioned Austin, you mentioned Hugh, you know, you talk about Ben Crombie, who played a lot of senior football last year. You've got the other Amal Vali brothers. You know, there's so many of those players that have transitioned into senior football that have both trained a lot pre and post Christmas that are really putting their hand up for a senior game. So all of a sudden, the squad to choose from is thick. It's long. It's big because we're all these guys that have come up want to play senior football. So I think part of the football strategy, the club strategy over many years, is to develop these. Players, and now they're at a really great age where they can get access to senior footy. But if not, they play twos football, they learn their craft, they work on it, they listen. And, you know, in years to come, they're the next senior players. So, you know, we've got a lot of work to do as a coaching panel to make sure we're fostering that development and nurturing that. But at the same time, we want these players to, you know, we expect them to play well and provide what they can with their skill set. So, yeah, Kingy, there's a lot of them transitioning up, and all of a sudden our list becomes huge.
Yeah, I was going to say, what size list are you dealing with then?
Oh, look, I think last talking to the footy director, I think we're up to about mid-70s at the minute. Oh. So we're having player availability is not going to be a problem. I think making sure that we're ensuring players get the feedback that they desire is going to be a challenge for us as a coaching group because they've got so many. But what a great thing to have at a football club to have too many players. But that's where we sit at the minute. So the club's been building for many years, and I think it's now time for us to capitalise on that investment in a sense.
With that many players, did you guys consider the thirds competition that AFL Barwon have floated?
Yeah, we did, absolutely. I had chats with the other coaches and our footy director, but we decided that for us, there was probably just going to be a bit too many challenges and obstacles in our way, and we decided that that probably wasn't for us. But we did look at it, we considered it, but yeah, we end up deciding that maybe not for us this year.
On the flip side, you lose Luke Williams to Cairns. Jacob Nawati will move to Queensland for work reasons. Michael Bolitho has become a dad and retired. What a wonderful career, obviously, you know he had, especially in the Colac District League during your time together at Birragara.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, Michael's a big loss, and I know him quite well, and he settled into the footy club quite well. And look, he brought a whole lot. You know what you're going to get with Mick. Also, you know what you're going to get with Jake Nawati and Luke Williams. So, look, we have lost a couple. So we've had to be actively pursuing, you know, recruits. And I think we've got a good mix. But we're certainly going to miss those players. They've given us a lot, particularly Jake, over many, many years. And we hope that, you know, when he finishes his work up in Queensland, that he'll be able to filter back. But, yeah, no, we'll miss those players. And we wish them all the best in whatever they pursue to do next year.
Also retiring is one Ben Bosley. Body told you it's time, Benny.
Yeah, look, Kingy, there was a point against Belpastil. I think it was maybe the round 11 or round 10. We played Belpastil at home, and the old body just wasn't ready to go. My mind knew what I wanted to do, but my body was just letting me down. So I think at that point, I knew that it was time to finish up. But also, it's provided a good opportunity to reflect on, you know, your career and what's transpired, but also I can't wait to be a non-playing coach this year because I think I've got a lot to offer just sitting on the sidelines. Maybe the coaches won't enjoy me being on the sidelines because I can be a bit hot under the collar and still passionate. But it's just going to have to be nurtured, that passion. But certainly I'll miss playing, but the time was right to allow these other players to step in and continue their senior careers or start their senior careers.
Yep. Having Marzi help with that transition for you being a non-playing senior coach, that you've got somebody like that who can be your lieutenant out on the ground?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was whole part of the strategy. If I wasn't to play, that we probably needed someone with experience, with some that just is probably a cool head. Not to say that I was a cool head all the time, but someone just that brought that sense of galvanizing the team and can communicate and be a voice with a relatively young group. And I think that Tom, when we spoke to Tom and we spoke to him about what we wanted, and when we confirmed him, it was basically the confirmation of me finishing as well. So there was a slight thought of I can go on, but when Tom was keen and committed and really up for the challenge, that did make it a lot easier for me to say the time's definitely right, knowing we've got Tom there from an on-field leadership point of view. I'd much rather Tom out there than me. Let's just say that.
This might be a tough one to answer when you've had 70 blokes roll through training, but who stood out for you on the track that we might see a big season from in 2022 down at East?
It's a good question, Kingy. There's lots of them, and I could name a number of players. Look, I've been really impressed with a lot of the Colt kids coming up. I've been impressed Billy Andrews is a new player that we've mentioned. I've been really impressed with Billy. Jake Dowsett, who's played a lot of senior footy over the many years, is looking as fit as ever. Jaden Fanning also is looking good. Look, I think the one to watch out, and again, he had a good year last year, but I think Ben Crombie, a small half-forward flanker with blonde hair, doesn't carry a lot of weight with him, but he stands quite mighty. And yeah, I'll be watching Benny Crombie this year. I think not only he'll create goals, but he'll kick some himself. So really impressed with him and what he's going to bring to us as a football team this year.
Quite ironically, in your first four games, a couple of meetings with teams who actually beat you in season 2021. So you start off with Belmont Lions for the Mark Lomas Shield, and that's an old-fashioned rivalry. And I know Nathan Bissett and the Lions have really set themselves for a crack at your boys in round one. Werribee Central's Bell Post Hill and Thompson to round out the month of April. Some good challenges, some nice games of footy where you'll find out in the month of April where you sit after a month.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, like we say, if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. And the reality is there's no hiding in this competition. You know, every team on their day, like we experienced last year, can win. So we need to make sure that we're being diligent in our preparation. But, you know, we're certainly ready to attack the season. We're pretty unhappy with the way, you know, we let games get away from us last year. And we know that this window thing maybe for us is opening with the players we've got. So, I mean, we're going to be ready. You know, we'll move on from last year and the frustration of not finishing the season. But no, look, we'll be ready. We can't wait. And we're not hiding. We want to play good football and we want to play finals. And we're going to aim high because I think it's time for the football club for us to capitalise on, like I said, the investment and our position at the minute. So bring it on, Kingy.
Absolutely. Inverleigh, the team to beat in your reckoning?
Yeah, I think Inverleigh, I mean, certainly last year was, Donna's did a great job with the team. They were, you know, probably by far the best team in the competition last year. And, you know, they're very, very well set up. I think Bell Post Hill have recruited well. And I know they've lost Bowie Collins. And, you know, I think he was probably the best player in the competition last year. I mean, he should have won the medal. But I think Bell Post Hill will be pushing it as well. I think, they've got quite a good list there and Tara's doing a good job. So, looking for Lee, but I think certainly watch Bell Post Hill as well.
Bose, you're always fun to talk footy with. So thorough with the way you prepare your footy team, but also thorough in the way you answer questions that I fire at you. And it's always good to talk to you because you've got a great grip on the game. And the group at East Geelong are very lucky to have you and very lucky to have Tom Mars. For those who haven't seen Marzi play, and I've been privileged to see him at South and also at Geelong VFL level, are in for a real treat. We wish you the best of luck for season 2022 and look forward to talking to you throughout the year.
No worries. Thanks, Kingy.
You've been listening to K-Rock Football's Season Countdown. Keep an eye on krockfootball.com.au for new episodes in the lead up to the 2022 local football season.